Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Good morning and welcome to Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin. Not really sure what to talk about today. The Lakers officially have their backs up against the wall. They lose to the Phoenix Suns 115-85, and sounds way closer than it actually felt. This one was over very quickly. Honestly, it was over as soon as guards like Dennis Schroeder or Kyle Kuzma, guys like that, quote unquote shooters, people who need to knock down open shots, they were hesitant to shoot, and Phoenix could pack the paint. LeBron had no driving lanes, and this was over before halftime. So this is going to be interesting here. There's a ton to look at coming out of this one. The storylines are going to be impossible to avoid. The moment is we've finally officially reached that moment where the promises versus what's best for the team are going to come to a head, especially now that Anthony Davis is not healthy. So a ton to get to despite the loss. So we got to get to all of that here in a bit. Let's start with the actual game. And I do want to credit Phoenix because they were clearly the better team. And not only were they the better team, but they also played with more energy. Their crowd really uplifted them. They were not missing anything from three-point range. And they just really took it to the Lakers. The Lakers opened up with a couple shots and I believe had like a five-point lead at one point. But that was quickly gone and then quickly turned into double digits in Phoenix's favor. And this was just over very quickly. So a lot of quicklies in there. But it's easy to look at all the things that the Lakers did wrong, whether it's rotations, guys who didn't play very well, but you also have to give credit to the team that, with the current health situations across both rosters, is probably just the better team right now. And we'll see what Anthony Davis looks like. They showed him trying to warm up, and he was wincing with every lateral step, especially to his right, that he took, and that's not a great sign. There's only 48 hours before the next game, and that's not enough time to get over any kind of a groin strain. And anybody who has ever had one, myself included, will tell you that that's the case. This is not going to be something that goes away really quickly, and the Lakers might just kind of be forced into a spot where LeBron has to go out and win a home playoff game without Anthony Davis to hopefully extend the season and get themselves a chance at a game seven with more guys healthy. Now, with all that said regarding Phoenix, we do have quite a few guys that need to be singled out here for just piss poor efforts, in my opinion. So let's start with Dennis Schroeder. His stat line for tonight, 0 points, 0 of 9 from the field, 0 of 4 from three-point range, didn't get to the free throw line once, 4 boards, only 1 assist, and was a minus 17 on the night. LeBron, I didn't think was very good either. Now, if you want to excuse it because of the lack of driving lanes, whatever, but I thought he was way too passive. He's really focused on getting everybody involved, and when he does kind of assert himself, it winds up looking like a bunch of those step-back 28-foot three-pointers, which they're great if they go in, but they don't really do much to really open up the game for very many other players. It's not like Phoenix is all of a sudden going to go out there and guard him 30 feet away from the basket. And it's not like other guys helping elsewhere across the court are going to spend any less time focused on LeBron when he has the ball. So those step back three pointers are great when they go in, but they aren't really doing much. LeBron was a game worst minus 24 in this one. And then you look at the other guys who were out there. KCP, maybe he's not healthy. He was only able to play 15 minutes. He was a minus 19 in those 15 minutes. Alex Caruso wasn't very good either. He was a minus 20 in 21 minutes. Wesley Matthews looked old. It was just I didn't walk away from this thinking to myself, man, anybody looked particularly good. Harrell went in there and did play with some energy. That was great to see. And look, even to the point that I'm about to make regarding bigs in starting spots or whatever, Andre Drummond, 7 points, 13 boards in 22 minutes, and Marc Gasol, 5 points, 3 boards. In the 10 minutes, and he only played 10 minutes because he picked up 5 fouls in a heartbeat. Each foul was separating each of them. He wasn't very interested in playing tonight. It was just a bad game. It was a bad game for the Lakers, and you combine that with a really good game for Phoenix, and it was a straight up ass kicking. But this is now the gut check time that I've been talking about, where, look, it's widely reported. It isn't reported as much about, is there any pressure from Clutch to get Andre Drummond any minutes because that appeases Anthony Davis. That isn't reported as much. But we do know that Andre Drummond was promised a starting spot when he signed coming out of Cleveland. We do know that when the Lakers traded for Dennis Schroeder, he was promised a starting spot. And both of those guys, in terms of what the Lakers need from their starting unit in this one, they need guys out there who can make the game easier on LeBron. And if Dennis Schroeder isn't shooting, that makes the game more difficult on LeBron. If Andre Drummond is just out there in the key all the time, that makes the game more difficult on LeBron. And if Anthony Davis can't go, I don't think the Lakers have the luxury here, as evidenced by this game. They don't have the luxury here where they can just start slow and still just kind of make up ground when the right players get in there. They're going to have to start, I think, Alex Caruso, and I think they're going to have to start Marc Gasol, and they need to get their best lineups on the court a lot faster and for more, longer portions of the game where it's not playing with one hand tied behind your back. We saw what it looked like when the Lakers wanted to end the season last year, right? When they won a championship, we saw what that unit looked like. Alex Caruso starts and the Lakers go out, and I believe at one point held a 40-point lead in a championship ceiling victory over Miami. And maybe this is a similar situation where the front office and everybody involved gets out of the way and the Lakers can just go out there and play the type of guys that they need to play. Maybe. Who knows? I legitimately don't know. And this is what's going to be really interesting, is that this might kind of preview what this offseason is going to look like. Because if the Lakers are still nervous to piss off Schroeder by taking him out of the starting lineup, then that might signal, well, they're going to try to build on this year and try to run it back next year and try to sign Schroeder to an extension that probably still looks a lot like the one that he turned down. If they start Drummond again, it's not that there's this giant gap between Gasol and Drummond from a talent perspective. From just raw talent, you could make the argument that Drummond is slightly more talented. I wouldn't necessarily disagree. I wouldn't. It wouldn't be the kind of thing that I laugh away. I kind of I I would rather have Marc Gasol. I think he plays something closer to winning basketball, but he was awful in this one too. He picked up a bunch of fouls. I thought the refereeing was pretty poor, to be completely honest, but it didn't matter. Like, it's a 30-point loss, so the refereeing didn't, I don't think, affect the game. But it is the kind of thing, though, where the Lakers have to optimize LeBron. They have to do a better job of optimizing LeBron, and Drummond doesn't space the floor in any way. There's no vertical spacing. There's no, obviously, deep threat spacing. He's just kind of there, and he'll create an extra possession here and there, but I just don't think that's enough to make up for what he does to LeBron every other possession that he doesn't create. So the Lakers here, they have some tough decisions to make, and whether or not those decisions are painted by their priorities this next offseason is really going to tell us a lot about the kind of offseason that they're kind of getting ready for. All this said, I don't care what they think about their offseason. You have a chance here to extend a series and get LeBron in a one-game winner-take-all type environment, even if it's on the road. You have the opportunity to get your team there and potentially extend your season. The focus has to be on this year. It has to be. And if it isn't, there have to be some very serious questions asked of the decision-making process that went into some of these rotational and personnel decisions that were made over the course of the season. And you know, I saw this as a talking point. Before we get out of here, I saw it as a talking point that this is some kind of reflection on the talent that the Lakers entered the season with. I'm not willing to go there right now because they don't have Anthony Davis and they clearly don't have a healthy LeBron James. So if we're going to say that this is a reflection on the decision making that headed into the season, I just think that's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That said, I still stand by my preference would have been to stay with Damian Jones because you didn't have to make the promises to him that you made here. And if Schroeder is unwilling to come off of the bench with the season on the line, then F him. You know, I'm not dying to see Dennis Schroeder again as a Laker next year. That's not a player that I am absolutely, you know, flabbergasted. I would be floored or devastated if he wasn't a Laker next year. If he has a loser's mentality and whines and mopes because he was taken out of the starting rotation or the starting lineup, well, we saw what it looked like when he was in the starting lineup in this game. Looked like a lot of moping to me. So this is this next game, these next 48 hours, the quotes that come out of it are going to be very telling. And then come Thursday, that is going to be one of the most important games, I would argue, of the last decade or so. It's probably the second most important game of the last decade of Lakers basketball. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown. Tough one, tough loss, tough spot that the Lakers find themselves in. We are going to have you covered with a longer form breakdown with the Taco Tuesdays guys. Alex's Padilla and Regla always do a fantastic job with that. We obviously have you covered at Silver Screen and Roll with reaction from coaches and players and breakdowns of what we saw in written form. You guys have to check out all of that stuff. Follow the show on this RSS feed, on this iTunes feed. Hit that subscribe button. I know that Apple is not exactly working to anything close to optimal circumstances. So if you guys want any other apps to use, let me know. I'm personally a Spotify guy because their subscriptions actually are subscriptions. Whereas iTunes is just kind of, they show up sometimes and then they don't with other times. So make sure you subscribe across a couple channels to make sure that you get all of these as soon as they air. I'm Anthony Irwin telling you guys to have a good one. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.